Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending our salutations upon our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. Today is this day where we will present the program of fiqh, al-fiqhu ala madahib al-arba'a, jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. And today we have a complex topic, and that is we're going to be discussing the topic of hayd and menstruation. And we have our beloved Mufti AK Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum ana Zaid Khan. Alhamdulillah. Today is the 9th of Ramadan, 1442. And we can see we already passed 1 week. We already entered the second week. And I'm inundated with questions from our ladies regarding the hayz, menses, istihada, and nifas. And therefore, today we will discuss all these issues. Insha'Allah al-Aziz.
Can Muftisa please elaborate on what does the Quran say about menstruation?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When one studies the noble Quran, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 2:2:2. So very easy reference for us. Chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 2:2:2. You know, many a time when a verse or verses were revealed, a certain incident would take place, and that incident would be called Sababun Nuzul, the reason for the revelation of that verse or verses, or that surah sometimes and chapter. And sometimes you will find Allama Suyuti and them, the old books on this, Rahimahullah, he was a giant also, very prolific writer. Sometimes you will find that an incident took place, and then the question came to Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the master alayhi salatu salam passed the verdict. You call that sababul wurud or asbabul wurud. That incident took place, and then the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made in the pronouncement, passed the verdict, issued the verdict. So both this we should know, asbabun nuzul for Quran Sharif and for ahadith mubarakah. Then we see it is asbabul wurud, sababul wurud, and Allama Suyuti has written on all these topics as well. I have the books myself. Nevertheless, now you go to Medina Munawwara and see in those days, more than 1400 years ago, so there were non-Muslims there, the Jews were there, and you must remember there in Mecca they were the Mushrikeen, the polytheists, and other parts of the world there were Christians and so forth. So there was interaction. So when you look at the non-Muslims, some of them used to eat, they used to drink, they used to sleep with their wives, and they used to fulfill conjugal relationship. So they used to go right to the other extreme. And some of the non-Muslims would treat their wives so badly, they would put them outside the home. You sleep outside, eat outside, drink outside. So Islam came about, khairul umuri awsaduha, the best is moderation in everything. You don't go to extreme like the non-Muslims that chase your wife out of the house and tell her go sleep outside and so forth during that week, 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, whatever it is. So Islam, let's recite the verse, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ, and they ask you, Ya Rasulullah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anil mahid, regarding the hayz. See the beauty, the glory of the Quran and the Arabic language. When you have water, you know, like India, Pakistan, and if you go to Uzbekistan and all that, you will have a big pond, you must remember, and then your people make wudu from there. So that you call a hawz, hawz kawthar, like that. So you must, it's water. Now change the waw into a ya, hayz. So that will be the blood gushing out, oozing out, and so forth. So that will be the menses, the menstruation of our mothers, sisters, daughters, wives, and so forth. It's a natural phenomenon. And if you put a meme there, it becomes masdar e mimi. So that is called وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ. They ask you, Ya Rasul Allah, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the menses, menstruation, and so forth. قُلْ You, Ya Rasul Allah, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, huwa adha, it is pollution, it is napak, it is impure, it is unclean. All these translations are acceptable. Fa'tazilun nisa'a fil mahid. Separate from your wives during menses. Now, what is the meaning? Can we sleep with our wives while she is in menses? Yes, you can sleep, no problem. But wala taqrabu hunna. Hatta yadhurna. You must not go near them. Don't fulfill the conjugal relationship till they take the first ghusl, the compulsory bath, and so forth. Hence, fa'idha tatwaharna. When they take the compulsory ghusl, the bath, fa'atuhunna. Then after the bath, you go to them. Min haythu amarakumullah. Where Almighty Allah has commanded you. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Verily, Almighty Allah loves those who make tawbah and they repent sincerely, abundantly, and wa yuhibbul mutatwahhirin, and Almighty Allah loves those who cleanse themselves thoroughly, properly. Here again, look at the balagha, the rhetoric, the beauty, the style, the diction of the Quran. Wa yuhibbul mutatwahhirin. What is that? Kathratul huruf tadullu ala kathratil ma'ani. The more letters there are in the word, the more it intensifies the meaning. So it don't mean we just take a quick shortcut shower. You wash yourself properly, thoroughly, oh lady, after you have your menses. So that, see how Quran is showing us all these subtle points and finer points and so forth. Now we go to the hadith in Abu Dawood. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wife is in menses. Now which portion can I touch? I can't touch. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma fawq al-izar. The portion between the navel and the knees, while she is in menses, that must be covered. So that portion, you, the husband, you can't touch skin to skin. Below the knees, you touch skin to skin, that's fine. Above the navel, you must remember the bosom, the back, the arms, all that. You touch skin to skin, that's fine. But the portion between navel and knees, that must be covered. So look at the beautiful system of Islam and juxtapose and compare it with a non-Muslim system. And even today you will see some non-Muslims, Allah forbid, some doctors and some professors, Allah forbid, they say, what is wrong? You can fulfill, you can be intimate, you can have conjugal relationship with your wife while she's in menses. Islam made all that absolutely, totally haram, and Islam is teaching us the natural way. So remember the reference, chapter 2, surah 2, verse 2:2:2.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, a female says, I am a new Muslim, my period is not very regular, I also see these terms hayd and istihada, I do not understand these words, can Mufti Saab please explain it in simple terms?
Remember that in simple terms it's like this, that if you take hayd and if you follow the Hanafi school, the Hanafi school of jurisprudence, so then they will say it is your normal habit. You know Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah kataba hadihi ala banati Adam. Verily Almighty Allah has prescribed, ordained this on the daughters of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So that's a sign that the lady is normal, she's healthy, and so forth and so on. So therefore, it's not a punishment. It is not something that's abnormal. It's not something that you are ill and sickly. So that you need to remove from your mind and from your heart as well. Open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, you will find this type of hadith. So Hanafi say the minimum period of menses will be 3 days. And the minimum duration, according to Shafi's and them, is 1 Sunday. And according to the Hanafis, the maximum period is 10 days, and the maximum period according to the Shafis and them is 15 days. So what you must do is simple. You should have your diary, you should have your book or whatever, or today cell phone and people have all these things here. So you know that your menses started, let's say now, on the beginning of Ramadan. So last week, Wednesday, that your menses started. So today is the 9th day. And from that day till today, you are bleeding. So all will be considered as your napaki, your menses, and so forth. Your habit was 6 days, but now it's gone to 7, 8, 9, all are menses. It goes to 10 days, is all menses. Yes, if it exceeds 10 days, then you come back to your original habit, and you will say 6 days was your original habit. And once it exceeds 10 days, so that extra days will be considered as istihada, that is the hemorrhage, the sickness, and so forth. But if it turned from 6 to 7, 6 to 8, 6 to 9, 6 to 10, we will say all of it is menses, and we will say adatun jadida, that is your new habit. So that is the Hanafi school, that you understand. And all the colors will be considered as menses, so you should remember that as well. And remember that the sign that you are clean, hatta tarainal bayda, till you see whiteness, the hadith say, then you must know now you are clean. You take your first ghusl, your compulsory bath, and then you resume your salat, you resume your namaz, you resume your fasting, all that. And all these days in Ramadan that you must, so qada for the fast is compulsory, qada for the salat is waived off. There's no qada for salat due to menses or due to postnatal and nifas and so forth. So therefore, we need to be clear on that issue. Now we work with the Shafi'i school. So the Shafi'i school, remember, either you have a set habit, 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, 11 days, because the maximum period is 15 days, so you can go over 10 as well. Or second one, the Shafi'is work with Tamyiz bil Alwan. You look at the colors and so forth and so on. So you know that when it is reddish, blackish, this color, then this is your menses. And the other color, you know that this is istihada and so forth. So therefore, it is mentioned, it is Damun Aswadu Yu'raf. The women, they know these things, yeah, and so forth. So therefore, Imam Shafi and them, they take, either you take your habit into consideration, either you take the colors into consideration, and so forth. But remember that one minimum day and 15 maximum day. And then the same laws will apply that I mentioned just now, that the husband, wife, they must abstain from conjugal relationships, being intimate with one another. They can sleep together, but remember the lady must cover the portion between the navel and the knees. All that is compulsory.
Mufti Saab, when we discuss the rulings of Hayd, how many hours are meant by 3 days or 10 days?
So you must remember, it's very easy. If you take 3 days, so you just take 24, 48, 72. So you must remember that is what is meant. So whether you started in the morning or afternoon or evening, you know when you started. So in that way, from that time there, so you will take 72 hours or more. So that will be considered as your menses. And then if you take 10 and you multiply times 24, so 240 hours. So that is a very easy calculation that you will make, inshallah.
The sister says, I don't want to get left behind in Ramadan. Can I use pills to delay my monthly period so I can perform in the rituals?
This masla is known as Mas'ala to Akhadil Hubub. There is a lady, Jamila, Fatima, Zainab, Aisha, whatever. Now she says, you know what, that last year Ramadan, I had 10 qada and I had this and big problem and so forth. So this year, 2021, I don't want problems and that. So I want to keep all the fast, 29 fast, 30 fast and so forth and so on. So can I take medication? This got nothing to do with family planning. This got nothing to do with contraceptives and so forth. This is just to defer and to delay the menses. So we will say that best is that you keep it as the nature wants, meaning your natural. So let the menses come, all that and so forth. So that will be the best for you to do. However, if you did take medication, tablets and what have you, pills and what have you, to delay and defer your menses, then our ruling and fatwa will be permissible but not desirable. So because it will impact on you, remember that sooner or later it does have some negative impact on you. So we will say it is permissible but not something desirable. Like an example I give you. Thus all 99% of the fuqaha, the scholars, the jurors, they agree on. You know, when the ladies perform hajj, nowadays we know this problem and all that, but in normal situation, we are 2 million, 2.5 million people, and how many ladies there are and so forth, alhamdulillah. So you will find they have to perform tawafu ziyarat. Hanafis use the term tawafu ziyarat is compulsory, is first. Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis use the term tawaful ifada. It's the same tawaf, just the names are different, but it's the same thing. So you call it tawafu ziyara, tawaful ifada, is same thing. Now that is compulsory upon the lady. If she goes away from Makkah back to her country, America, Japan, Europe, wherever, Africa, and she did not perform tawafu ziyara, her hajj is incomplete. And if she's married, husband-wife relationship is not permissible. So therefore, the ulama, fuqaha, jurors will tell you that if you know that your flight is this time and this time, and it's 2 million, 2.5 million people, I'm just giving pre-COVID statistics and so forth. So in a case like that, where she takes injection or medication or what have you, and that is to delay her menses, so everybody, 99% the fuqaha, the jurors will say it's permissible. So similarly, if you apply the law of qiyas and analogy and say that the lady for her Ramadan, I'm telling you, it's not desirable, it's undesirable, but it will be permissible and the fast will be valid. But best is still to let nature take its course, as we say.
Mufti Saab, a sister says, recently I had a heated up conversation or debate on one of the groups, and this woman said that I can't read manzil, but I was always thought that I cannot read manzil. Can Mufti Saab
remember that the maslaye is something else? What is the masla we are discussing? The masla we are discussing is qira'atul ha'idha. Can a lady in menses touch the Quran? Can a lady in menses read the Quran and so forth? So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala himself has answered this question, you must remember. And you read in Surah Waqiyah, chapter number 56. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us Surah Waqiyah, chapter 56, verse number 17. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. None are allowed to touch the Quran Sharif except in the state of taharat and cleanliness and so forth and so on. So there are two separate maslas here. One masla is masul mushaf, masul Quran, to touch the Quran Sharif. One is qira'atul Quran. So we draw a distinction. So a lady, I'm speaking not in haiz, not in menses, we'll come to that just now. Now, she wants to touch the Quran, or the male wants to touch the Quran. You must have wudu. You can't touch the Quran without that. And now to read the Quran, for that you don't require wudu. You know the surah by heart. You know surah Yasin. You know surah Alam Tara. You know surah Inna Atayna. And now you read it, and you're reading by heart, you're not touching Quran. For that, you don't require wudu. But because you are reading it, looking inside the Quran Sharif, therefore you will require the wudu. Then we come to the next issue. Can this lady who is in haiz, in menses, can she be reading the Quran? The hadith is in Tirmidhi. La taqra'u al-ha'izu walal junubu shay'an min al-Quran. The ha'iza, the lady in haiz, in menses, the person, male or female, in junub. You had husband-wife relationship at night, and now daytime, you still napak, you still impure, you didn't take the bath, you want to read read Quran, now we're speaking of reading. So we're not speaking of touching. Touching is in the Quran, not permissible. You can't touch the Quran, Sharif, without wudu. And remember, reading, if you are haiza in haiz, or you junub, husband-wife relationship, or the person had a wet dream and so forth, then also you can't be reading anything from the Quran. So that's the second scenario. Third scenario, people want to read Ayatul Kursi, the lady wants to read Ayatul Kursi, or she wants to read Qul Wallahu Ahad, or Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, before sleeping and so forth. Is that permissible while she is in the condition, in the state of menses? So we will say yes, the fatwa, that it is permissible for her to read these verses and the short surahs, but not on the way of Tilawatul Quran, but ala niyati du'a. She made intention of supplication, she made intention of du'a and so forth. So that is the masla, we finish with that. Now we encourage people to read the book of Hazrat Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu wa Manzil. But you must remember, there are many verses there that got nothing to do with the du'a. Ya ma'ashir al-jinn, reading it for past 30, 40 years, so we know. So ya ma'ashir al-jinn wal-insi nistata'atu man tanfudhu min aqtari. What that got to do with du'a? Nothing. So remember, you can't be reading that. So for example, wasafati swafan, fazajirati, what did got to do with du'a? Nothing. So you must remember, therefore, our fatwa verdict is, for a lady in menses, she can read Bismillah, Ayatul Kursi, the Kuls, all that. But to read Manzil, not permissible. Because there are so many verses there, that got nothing to do with the du'a and so forth and so on. So therefore, the fatwa will be, is not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, what should a female do when a menses starts while she is fasting?
That's an excellent question. Remember that, and I hope you, the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and you, the listeners of Sirius FM, there in Springs, our brother Faisal Asmal, Yusuf Asmal, Allah Ta'ala reward you. So you all are listening to these. These are very, very important issues. You were a sa'ima, you were fasting, you woke up for suhoor and you had your sihri, everything. Now came 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock this morning and your menses started. Or yesterday afternoon, 2, 3, 4 o'clock and your menses started. Now what? First masla, you must know, you must break your fast immediately. You cannot continue fasting whilst you are a haiza, whilst you are in the state of menses, because you must remember, for a haiza to fast is haram, is not permissible. So immediately you break your fast, but you don't have to announce and pronounce it to all and sundry. So what you do discreetly and privately in your room, in the kitchen, wherever, you know there's food there, you know there's water, juice, drinks there, so you have all that, whatever you like and so forth, but qada will be compulsory. So that's the first scenario. Lady was sa'ima, fasting, and then she became haiza, then she became, went to the state of menses. During the fasting hours, she must break the fast, but do so during Ramadan, privately, discreetly. And remember, your 5 days, 6 days, 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, whatever. So all those days you must, qada is compulsory. You got the 11 months beside the 5 days where you can't fast. First of Shawwal, Eid al-Fitr, we can't fast. 10th of Zulhijjah, Eid al-Adha, you can't fast. 11th, 12th, 13th of Zulhijjah, Ayyam al-Tashriq, you can't fast. So beside these 5 days you keep fast, you got enough time for qada. So there's no problem with that. So that's the first issue. Now turn the whole scenario the other way around, that the lady was a haiza, she was in menses, and then she became tahira, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, the honorable wife and spouse, and she stayed with the master alayhi salam for more than 25 years alone as the only wife. And remember, she's one of the greatest ladies of all time and all places. She's the one, ulama have written, she gave Nabi alayhi salam 40,000 dirhams. Alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa, wa wajadaka dhalan fa'ada, wa wajadaka ailan fa'aghna. So what is Aylan Farana? That Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you got married, Sayyida Khadija gave you, and then she enriched you through the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, when you study the books on Seerah and so forth and so on. So remember, in a case like that, so we will say that remember that Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the only wife of Nabi alayhi salam, and the mother of his 6 children, 4 daughters and 2 sons and so forth. Then the other son came from Maria, Sayyida Maria Qibtiya radiallahu anha. So anyway, the point I'm making here is this. Now the lay Tahira is the title, laqab, we use for Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. How the laqab, title we use for Sayyida Aisha is Siddiqa. Siddiqi Beti, Siddiqa. Siddiq, title of Sayyida Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. And Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So understand this. So Tahira was an honorable title as well. Now that lady was Haiza. In her menses, 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, now she became Tahira. Now her menses stopped, she took her ghusl, everything. Now what? So from that time in the morning till the evening sunset, or in the afternoon till sunset, is wajib, compulsory upon you to make imsak. Now you abstain, refrain, and from eating, drinking, everything. But qadha of that fast is compulsory. Remember that. So that compulsion, that it is compulsory to abstain from eating, drinking, and so forth, because now you are tahira, you are clean. That is the Hanafi verdict. According to the Shafi's, Ambalis and them, they say, remember, it is mustahab, sunnah, and so forth, that it is not something that is compulsory that you abstain and refrain. So that is the fatwa of the Shafi'is and other scholars. So therefore, we need to know the differences. But Hanafis are strict on this issue. So they will tell you that it's compulsory, that you must abstain and refrain, and we call it imsak. Imsak means to stop. You know, we get in the masajid these timetables, Ramadan timetables. If you go Makkah, Medina, you will see people distributing, not now, in the starting of Ramadan one day, they say khud imsakiya, take the timetable. They call the timetable also imsakiya. So remember, you will find sunrise, sunset, iftar, all those things there, what time maghrib, what time isha, all, everything detailed. So mashallah, they do it very, very nice, all in Arabic obviously. So that is also a term you should remember.
Mufti Sapa, female says, I saw after iftar, I saw some blood. Should I, and I'm not sure when it came out. What should I do?
Remember, in Islam, the law is نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ مُتَوَلِّي السَّرَائِرِ. We work and pass the verdict on the prima facie evidence. So what is prima? Superficial evidence. So what we see, so at that time, remember, that is, we'll pass the ruling. And Allah alone knows what is in our hearts, what happened exactly. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ السُّدُورِ. That Allah Ta'ala knows what ever is in our hearts, the Torah. We forget it and all. Allah Ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Your Allah Jalla Wala never ever forgets. So we need to be very clear on all these type of issues here. So in a case like that, we will say that when she went there to the bathroom, washroom, and Maghrib time, after Maghrib and so forth, so and then she saw the bleeding and blood, we will say it started now and the fast is valid. Because we work on the prima facie evidence, so that is what we will say, the fast is valid. But maybe it started just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour before sunset, but we don't know, we don't have evidence. But maybe, so that we leave to Almighty Allah, that goes to Almighty, He knows everything. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is all embracing and all encompassing. So in a case like that the lady's fast will be valid.
We welcome the listeners back to this program of fiqh and the jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought, and we are busy with the section of menstruation, a pretty complex topic. But we have Mufti Saab here, and we'll continue with the next question. The next question is, what is istihada?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Remember, for the ladies, there are three different terminologies. Number one is the haiz, the menses, and I explained that already. Then another one is istihada. Istihada in English is translated as a hemorrhage, meaning is a sign of sickness. Let's give you two, three examples of that, because you get different types examples. That the lady, Hanafis say maximum is 10 days of menses, but she's bleeding 11, 12, 13, 14. So that bleeding that went beyond the 10 days is all istihada. In Sahaba's time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, Ibn Hajar Asqalani, imagine the muhaddisin, they left absolutely nothing. Everything they investigated, they made thorough research, they found 13 ladies, 13 ladies in the time of Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that remember they were suffering from this, and three of them were sisters. That you must remember, Hamna bin Jash and Fatima bint Jash and all of them. So anyway, you must remember the point I want to make. There were 13 ladies. So you'll find it in Fathul Bari, the names and everything. The point I want to make, so that's one example. If the lady is following the Shafi'i school, now she's bleeding and it went over 15 days, 16, 17, 18, 19. So that extra you will call istihaza. So they must remember that. That's one. Second one is this, that lady there, that she bled, she was spotting, bleeding for 1 day, 2 days, and then it just stopped, back to normal, everything. So that 1-2 days, Hanafis will say, is also istihada. So we must remember that as well. Second example. Third example, and this is very, very important, every lady should know this. Today your menses ended, right? Today your menses ended. So before your next menses start, today it ended, now you must start thinking when the next menses, when the next haid will start and so forth. So you must remember, minimum between the duration, between these menses is 15 days, minimum, 1-5. So if after 6 days, 8 days, 10, 12 days, you, my sister, you start bleeding again, so remember that is istihada, and you must continue performing your salat, you must continue fasting, everything as normal. However, because you are now ma'azur, you fall in the category of people who have a valid excuse. So for every first salat, now for example, zuhr time, because just now will be zuhr time, so you make a fresh wudu and remember, then you read zuhr salat. Then when asr time enters, then you make a fresh wudu and perform asr. Maghrib, be careful, you don't make the wudu and perform the wudu. The ablution before sunset, you wait sunset, make iftar, thereafter you make your wudu, perform wudu, and then you perform your salat. Similarly, before Isha, fresh wudu, before Fajr, fresh wudu. So because you are a lady who's a mustahada, and ladies who are mustahada in that hemorrhage condition, remember they fall in the category of ma'zurin and ma'zurat. For the men, they have problem with their urine and so forth, ma'zurin. And woman, ma'zurat. So you must remember. So that is what will be also istihaza. So already I gave you three examples. So either you went beyond the maximum limit, either you went less than the minimum, or either Hanafi, Shafis, all accept this, that the minimum period of cleanliness between two menses is 15 days. So remember, within that period, 3 days, 5 days, 7, 10 days, then 12 days you started bleeding, so that will be istihada. So these are the basic rules you should know. And while we're at it, let me just go on. What a nifas. Nifas is, mashallah, I was born in Ramadan, so mashallah. So with all my Allah's help, my mother used to tell me that Dadi is my paternal grandmother. So I saw that she passed away in our house, you must remember. So anyway, she was very, very fair in complexion, you know, and she was a very beautiful old lady, mashallah. So anyway, that she passed away there by us in Heidelberg. So I remember I was doing hips and so forth. So the point I'm making here is this, that she used to tell my mother that for what you had to get pregnant now in Ramadan and all this type of, you know, old people. So you must remember that they get upset because now that it upsets their timetable and their program and lot of things. But these are issues is not in your control. You must remember that. But old people, so my mother used to tell me I should discuss all this. I say that what Ma used to say. So she said, Ma used to be very upset. You understand that why you must get pregnant during Ramadan time and so forth. So if you go pregnant, you don't have to worry. It's from Allah Ta'ala's side. So mashallah, that I was born during Ramadan and so forth. So nifas is when you, the mother, you gave birth to your flower, to your son, to your daughter. And when you gave birth, the Hanafis humbly say, the maximum period is 40 days, 40. And the Shafi'is and Malikis say maximum period of nifas, the postnatal, is 60 days. And remember, they all agree, there is wala hadda li aqallihi. There is no minimum period. It can be 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, whatever. So there is no real stipulated minimum period. Maximum period, there is 40 days, Hanafis, Hanbalis, 60 days, Shafi'is and Malikis. So that is what you call nifas. So whether you are in a haid or your menses, or whether you are in your nifas, your postnatal, your salat is saqit, it's waved off, it falls off. While you are in that condition, you don't perform salat. And after you get clean, you take a compulsory bath from your postnatal or from your menses. It's compulsory, you must take a bath. Then after that, there's no qadha also. So you say the salat is saqit and it is waved off. Remember that. So these are three terms your mother, sister should know, and you should know. I don't say you must become the big sheikh and all, but the basic rules regarding this you must know. It's going to impact on your siyam, your fasting. It's going to impact on your salat, your namaz. It's going to impact on your husband-wife relationship. So all these are issues that you must know.
Mufti Saab, a lady wants to know that I became pure at 4:30 a.m. and this is before Seri, and Seri ends at 5 a.m. and I took a ghusl at 5:30 a.m. What's the hukam, yeah?
Okay, what's the verdict and ruling? Let us look at the chronological events here now. That lady became clean. She's sure that her menses stopped at 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30, whatever time, right? Then she partook of the suhoor and the sehri and what have you. Then after sehri ends, the fasting time started. But she took her ghusl, you must remember her bath, compulsory bath at 5:15, 5:30, because sunrise is 6:30, 6:20, like that. So remember, is that fast valid or not? Yes, it's valid. But we will advise her and her husband, both of them, that one masla, that see, 4:30, 4:15, you became clean, and you know, according to the Hanafis, that what you have to do, you have to guggle your mouth, you have to insert water into your nostrils. So insert the water into your mouth, you can drink it also at 4:30, 4:45, you know, you having sehri and so forth, suhoor, and remember that you insert water into your nostrils. So when you take your bath, when you take your ghusl, then you don't have to worry of guggling mouth and inserting water in nostrils and so forth. So that is just a precautionary stance, remember that. But it's good to practice on it, like for Hanafis especially. They say madmada istinshaq, inserting water in the mouth and nose is compulsory for ghusl as well. So therefore you must remember that for them this masla is very important. Shafis and them say it's sunnah, not compulsory. So therefore if they do it, it's very good. They don't do it, there'll be no sin upon them. So these are the issues that you should remember.
Mufti Saab, if I became pure at 5:15, that's after Seri, then what will be the verdict here?
Okay, we said that 5 o'clock is Sehri end. Sehri means that is the time of eating the pre-dawn meal and so forth. And then at 5 a.m., remember the fasting starts. And then you, my sister, my daughter, at 5:15, 5:30 or 5:40, now you became clean and so forth. So now you want to make intention and fast. Is that valid? Is that permissible? No, it's not permissible. Why is not permissible? Remember that when the Sehri time, the Suhoor time ended and expired, and your fasting time started. This is the law, my sisters, my daughters, mothers, you must know. When the fasting time started, so we just say 5 o'clock to make it easy. So 5 o'clock, remember, at that time, your condition was still of a high Iza. Still you were in your menses. So therefore, that day's fasting will not be valid. Although your menses stopped just after that 10, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, 5:10, 5:15, 5:20, 5:30. So you take your ghusl, everything, and according to Hanafis, because now you are tahira, you are clean and so forth, so you will have to make imsak. You must abstain and refrain from eating, drinking, husband-wife relationship and so forth. And according to the Shafis and them, it is sunnah, not compulsory, meaning it's good but not compulsory. So that would be the difference there. So the criteria, the usul, the principle you must remember. You, my sister, what is your status? What is your condition? When the suhoor time, the sehri time, the pre-dawn meal time expires, and the fasting time, the siyam time starts, if you are tahira, then your fast will be valid, even though you took the ghusl afterwards at 5:20, 5:30, 5:40, whatever. And if at that time you are a high Iza and became park after that, clean after that and so forth, then that fast will not be valid, because you must remember you were still, when the Siyam, when the fasting time started, you were still considered as a person who's a non-Muslim, or you are considered as a person who is a, you must remember, a high Iza in Hayz. So that non-Muslim embraced Islam in the morning, sunrise, before sunrise. So that day, his fasting is not valid. So you don't have to keep qadha also, because he was not Muslim before that. But for you, sister, qadha will be compulsory. You got 11 months. So in a case like that, you should remember that what will happen to you, that if you got clean at 5:15, 5:30, then that day's fast is not valid.
Mufti Saab, a concerned sister says that I see my husband and my children engaging in good actions, and I'm in currently in menses. So can Mufti Saab please advise on actions which I can do to get close to Allah even despite this?
Remember that this is nothing new. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Medina Munawwara on a Saturday, the 25th of Zulqa'dah. So left Medina Munawwara. And remember, they came to Zul Hulayfa, to Bir Ali. And that Saturday night they spent there. On the 26th they left from there. And that Sunday they fastened Ihram, some for Umrah, some for Hajj, some for Umrah, Hajj, whatever. Lo and behold, they're traveling. In those days when you came by camel and so forth, it was a 10-day journey to and fro. Medina to Makkah, 10 days. Makkah to Medina, 10 days. That was the approximate, average that it would take them. Now, when they reach the place called Sharif, Sharif is where Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha, the honorable wife and spouse of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is buried. So in that area there, on the outskirts, remember, of the Haram. So remember that there what happened, that they say that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, her napaki, her menses started. And she made intention for Umrah. And it's a Sunday. It's the 4th of Zulhijjah. So she started crying. Now what, Ya Rasulullah? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, your menses start. We will see now what happens. So now that Thursday, they have to go to Mina, and she's still in menses. So you say, okay, you make Faskul Umrah. You cancel that intention of Umrah and make Hajj. So the Hajj Siddiqah, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, performed was Ifrad Hajj. because there's no Umrah, just Ifrad Hajj. Then she cried and said, Ya Rasulullah, all the honorable wives are going to back home with Umrah and Hajj, and I'm going back only with Hajj. So I also want to perform Umrah. So it was the night of the 14th. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, fine, where's your brother Abdul Rahman? Call him. And then he took Siddiq, said Aisha. They are Akhun Shaqiq and Ukhtun Shaqiqa. They share the same parents. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha and Sayyidina Abdul Rahman. Father, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. And mother, remember, is Umme Ruman. So see, here's an example of it. So you, my sister, now in Ramadan, all the nights of Ramadan, everybody is engaged. You can't read Quran Sharif, you can't touch the Quran, you can't read Salat. So what can you do? Abdalu Zikri La ilaha illallah. Make a lot of zikr. And that is La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. A lot of Durood Sharif, Salawat. You see tonight, Akthiru min as-salati alayya yawm al-jumu'ah, the hadith in Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood. Read abundant Durood Sharif, Salawat upon me, the night of Friday, the day of Friday's authentic hadith. And then Nabi alayhi salam went on and said, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَا تَأْكُلُ أَجْسَادُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, that remember the land and the sand does not devour and eat up the bodies of the Anbiya. They remain intact. Our bodies will decompose, disintegrate, all that, but not that of the Anbiya. They're alive. So the masla of, you must remember, Hayatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're alive. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds to the salam and so forth. So anyway, the masla will be that in a case like that, what should you do? Abandon zikr, abandon durood sharif, and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Istighfar, astaghfirullah, 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 Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilay. And remember, the last one will be that this person must stay away from all sins. Don't mean you go and on the TV, you go and on this, on that, so all that is haram. Ittaqil maharim, takun a'badan nas. That stay away from haram speech, from haram actions, from haram people. So then you will become the person that is the most pious by Almighty Allah. So imagine that so many the hadith in Tirmidhi, so many things we can do that we just take it for granted. So use your time. Remember that you can sit on your musalla and you make zikr, you teach du'as to your children. So many things you can do.
Mufti Saab, a woman wants to know that is it permissible to apply lipstick while fasting?
Remember, not permissible. That people whose lips they get cracked and so forth, they want to apply that lip balm, lip eyes. Ladies want to put lipstick all. So you keep on licking your lips. So slowly, 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 that saliva, that taste will go inside. You swallow it and the lips are right outside the mouth. So therefore, remember that will be not permissible. Similarly, with toothpaste and all that, not permissible. When a person is fasting, you must abstain from all these things here.
Mufti Saab, a woman says that I previously had a habit, and after I gave birth, now I'm in a really confused state as my bleeding comes at odd times and it's not the habitual days. What should I do?
So if you are sure you have a set habit, and now you must remember that blood, the bleeding, and that comes beside that set habit, so that you consider istihada. So I told you already for istihada, what you will do, for every first salat, you will take a wuzu, fresh wuzu, and thereafter you continue. But remember that maghrib time, you must be careful. When the azan goes, then they make the wuzu and make the iftar, and then go make the wudu and so forth. So you must know, because you are a person who are ma'zur and so forth and so on. So that is what you have to take into cognizance. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make it easy for us, and may Almighty Allah reward the ladies also.
Ameen.
To make the siyam and the qiyam, the fasting easy, the qiyam, the tarawih easy, and so forth. Ameen. Okay, let me give you the rundown for today, inshallah. 12 7 o'clock will be the news headlines or news bulletin with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter will be Ma Suleiman Qattani, the day of justice, the day of judgment. So that is the day of Qiyamah. Thereafter, at 1:05 to 13:30 will be Mulana Junaid Hashim, and he is discussing brotherhood, so remember that. Then 1:30 to 2 will be the tafsir from Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verses 151 to 152. Very interesting, you will listen to that. That is that today's tafsir from the archives, 151, 152, the verses. And remember, we should try and listen to it. Many, many lessons that one can learn from there. And then 152 also, where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the yatim and all that. So we can learn a lot of things there. Then we have that is our time, 1:30 to 2. Then 2 to 2:30, Monday to Thursday, we have a special Q&A program for Ramadan and related issues. I vomited, I took injections, I did this, I did that. So whether you must remember the fast is valid, not valid, and so forth. And remember that will be 2 to 2:30. And thereafter, mashallah, that we will have our Mawlana Ridwan Qaji's lecture. So he will give the lecture. 3 to 3:30, inshallah, will be our repeat program of this morning's Q&A, where so many people, remember, they are phoning in and so forth and so on. Then at around 4:20, inshallah Aziz, Brother Amin Templeton, from that time right till 5 o'clock, inshallah. So he will then deliver and render the economics, you know, the views of economics and all the things going on in the world, in politics and economics and so forth. So that's very important as well. Then 5 o'clock, we go to Hafiz Wadi, and then the program remains the same. Inshallah, the Taraweeh from Mountain Rise, and then the Taraweeh from Makkah, Medina, and so forth. So we must remember that we finish up at about 10. Yesterday they finished up about 10:15, 10:20, because the reader was reading very slow, but it happens like that. And in a case like that, what will happen is that you have after that the lecture. So and the Nasiha by Mawlana Bamji, and thereafter by Mawlana Dawood Siddat, and thereafter we have the Urdu tafsir, in this sense the Urdu translation of the entire Quran Sharif. So in that way, you can listen to that at between 11 and 12:30. 12:30 to 1 is Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki, and remember that will be between 12:30 and 1:30. And then Jews a night, 1:30 to 2:30. And thereafter, Urdu lecture, 2:30 to 3. So that is the timetable. But I told you that we should be the ones that we have the timetable in our hands, and we know what exactly is happening. So may Almighty Allah accept us, and we read the dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna, siyamana wa qiyamana wa tilawatana wa jami'a amalina saliha ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, we accept, you accept from us our fasting, our taraweeh, our tilawat, our good actions, and inshallah we keep on making dua. Almighty Allah will accept it. Mashallah, our brother Yusuf Ali is here for the news, so inshallah the programs will continue. May Almighty Allah make it easy. Jazakallah khairah to you, Mawlana Zahid. Barakallah fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From us in the team here, we say Jazakumullah, and we request for duas, and may you all have a spiritual Ramadan. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.